Welcome to another Outlet at Home experience. I'm Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community Church, and I want to say it's my honor to come wherever you are in the world today. Whether you're watching live or the rebroadcast or even listening to our audio podcast, thank you so much for investing your time into our ministry. And I believe today you will hear a word that is specific to you. We are at the close of our 21 days of prayer. And in my heart, the Lord began to share with me that we're entering into a season where things are going to be changing. And it's important for us to have the right posture, to have the right heart, to know what to look for. And here, over about a year and a half or so ago, I was able to minister at one of our family churches in the area, Martin Street Church of God. And the message I ministered was entitled Changing Seasons. And it seems as though now that message back then was for today. We have never shown this message. I have never shown this message, but listen to the words that the Lord will be sharing today. I'll be with you all on all the platforms, just talking and having a good time. So let's talk and chat it up. And I'll be back at the end of today's message to just share some things with you. Let's now open our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and watch out now. I got the $75sermons.com one today. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. I want to go ahead and just tell you all something that I've been doing ever since I met your pastor. I consider you all family in the neighborhood, so every time I pass my family's house, I speak a blessing over this place. You all are family. And I do want to go on record and saying, good family don't come in empty-handed, so the outlet is going to kick off the donations to the Easter egg hunt. Amen. I have a certain amount that I want to give, but I also realize I would give it all away. So I'm waiting on my CFO to tell me how much. But just know, next time the church office is open, we will come with check in hand to get the Easter egg hunt started. Amen. That's what good family is for. All right. Now, the word of God. Holy Spirit, I'm trusting in you. I ask you to lead me. I ask you to guide me. None events. Every bit of you. I don't want to know what I know. The people don't want to know what I know. We want to hear a word from you. So I decrease. Father, you knew who would be here today. And they're here today. They're listening right now, not by accident, but you divinely set them up to speak to their plight, their need, every hurt, every illness. Your healing power is here right now. Spirit, soul, body, as I pray, Father, you're healing them. Oh, yes, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to read Ecclesiastes 3:1. I'm actually going to read from the New Living Translation. It's not too far off from what is up there. Actually, we have it up there. Praise the Lord. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, for everything, everybody say everything. Everything. Oh, we here today. There is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. The title of today's message is Changing Seasons. Changing Seasons. You see, the only constant in life is change. And as I believe, and I'm going to say we, I'm a part of the Martin Street family today, as we are claiming
that this year we're reclaiming the kingdom of God, your situation can't stay the same. But if I don't know what change looks like, and I don't know that seasons, and I'm not aware of seasons changing, I will miss what God is currently doing in my life. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, the other text scripture. Because I love the disciples. I love them. Why? They were real. How many decisions and responses would you have gotten better if you had a whole book of recorded responses that didn't go too well? See, they didn't have the Bible that we have. So you have to understand, when they have raw questions, that would have been us if we were in that same situation. Amen. So I love the disciples' response, because Ecclesiastes 3:1 is a scripture we all quote. For everything, there's a season, a time and activity, for every activity under heaven, glory to the Lord. But the disciples asked the main question that we ask quietly but are afraid to articulate to God, who knows we're thinking it. And so in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, I'm going to the New King James Version here. It says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, being Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They, in essence, were asking, okay, I understand that your kingdom operates in times and seasons. So when? Have you ever been there where you said, okay, Lord, I understand that you're a good God. I praised you. But when is it going to be my time? And you know, I'm tired of praying and tired of yet holding on. So when is it going to be my time? And the Lord responded to them, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. The next word in verse 8 is but. For all those who've studied the English language, you understand that the important part is not what I just said. The important part is what I'm about to say. He said, I understand that you're concerned with what's going on all around you, but in this season, in this time, what I want you to focus on is you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of all the earth. You can be seated. So what he is saying is, don't get caught up with how things look around you. I want you to pay attention to what I'm doing on the inside of you, because greater is he that's on the inside of me than whatever you see or face around you. And so sometimes we get so caught up in how things are going and how things are moving and what they said and what they didn't say. Did they put me on the program today or did they not? We get so moody and temperamental, all the while God is attempting to bring his kingdom out through you. As Pastor Greer alluded to, and the insert did share with you, I grew up in Detroit, Michigan, the north, and I have been delivered from winter. Ain't it good? Well, my mother did. I was raised in a single-parent household, and so I want to just encourage every single parent, single grandparent, don't get discouraged. My father died when I was very young. My single mother just said, I can't do this alone. And she trusted her sons in the hands of God. Sometimes you just have to trust and commit their soul to the hands of the Lord. And I raised in a single mother household, and every winter, because it was cold. Not cold, cold. You know, you don't get the D because it's cold. It's cold. But every winter, around February, during winter break, my mother How far can I walk? I can come down too. Oh, what's up, balcony? They ain't holding me back now. I'm not gonna run. No, those athletic days are I get to preaching and get real excited. I had to slow down and just talk quietly to catch my breath. So if y'all see me, yes, yes, I am getting air. But every winter break, my mother would take us to Florida for a week to vacation. It was a reprieve, as it were, from the cold winter. But she had a technique because we didn't drive, we flew. And when we were in Detroit, her technique was underneath we would wear the clothes we were going to wear when we got off the plane in Florida. However, because the weather was different in Michigan, we were layered up to brave the cold. And so once we finally got to the final gate where we were supposed to depart, my mother would then ask us to take off the external layers because where you're going is not where you're at. You see, she would have us to take off the excess jackets, the excess clothes, the excess pairs of pants so that we could have on the cotton t-shirts and the shorts and the flip-flops, because for the next week, we were not going to experience the same thing we had experienced all winter long. But what happened was, when people noticed us disrobing inside of the airport, they would begin to laugh. Some people would look at my mother's side eye. Some people would say nasty things to her because they thought this mother didn't love me because she was asking us to take off things that don't apply to where we're going. You see, sometimes people talking about you because you're just getting free and you're just letting go of the offense. You're letting go of the bitterness because you realize carrying all of that will not help you with where you're going. Everybody doesn't see what you see. Everybody hasn't prayed the prayers that you pray. And so if people talk, let them talk, but they won't be on the same plane taking you to the season that God has for you. But watch this now. If she would have taken a moment to answer every single critic, we would have missed the flight and have been stuck in the season we were in. I came by Martin Street to let some of you know the season has changed. The plane is getting ready to board. You can't take all that mess with you where you're going. You need to make a decision right now that I'm going to leave it here so that I can be everything that God has called me to be. It's a change of perspective. I got to view things differently. You get upset when people reveal themselves to you. I can't believe. I thought. Oh, my goodness. And I'll be honest, I had the same feelings. And can we be real honest? Thank y'all. That just... from church people. I felt that in my Holy Ghost. Let me come on down and talk about it. I felt that. Yes, Lord. From church people. I told my wife, I said, look, if I wasn't pastoring, I don't know if I'd be in church. And the Lord stopped me for a moment. He said, would you have rather gone through your life with fake relationships than in this season where I'm taking you knowing who's really with you? So instead of crying about who's left, thank God for who remained. It's about changing our perspective. Everything just cannot be for those who negative. Walter Hopkins once penned, tragedies are, oh, thank y'all. I got my, feel my health coming on. All kinds of diseases. People are slipping away. Economy's down. People can't get enough pay. But as for me, I'm not looking on the outside. As for me, in my house, all we can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Something about when we were singing, my God is my all in all. And my generation, we have a phrase that says that song hit right, which means that song, yes, it struck a chord. It got right to the heart. The reason why my God is my all in all, and it moves people differently, is because people have different levels of awareness of how much they really owe God for the life they currently have right now. Some people have a mindset that had it not been God who was on my side, I really don't know where I would be. I've made some crazy decisions in my life, and it was because of his mercy that I didn't get what I deserved. And it's because he's been so good. I can't get caught up in what I think I don't have, because with God, I have every single thing that I need. Money can go, houses can go, relationships can come and go, but your God said that I will not ever leave or forsake you. So when we sense seasons changing, we have to understand changing seasons bring new opportunities. The word seasons that we're looking at in the Greek is kairos, which simply means opportunity. So in our mind, we're trying to look from a static lens of, am I in the fall season of my life? Am I in the winter season of my life? Am I in the spring season of my life, or am I in the summer season? Seasons give you an analogy of how things are, but your entire life cannot be compromised or composed in just one season, because in some areas of your life, it's spring. Some areas of your life, it's summer. Some areas of your life is fall, and some areas there's winter. So he said you can't get so preoccupied on what is going on around me, because then I'm going to miss what God is desiring to do in me. And when changing seasons bring new opportunities, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, it says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. Can I break this down real quick? A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now I'm going to ask you to take the next bold step. Have there been decisions in your life where you did not consider God? That, according to Scripture, is foolish. You aren't a fool. We aren't fools. But when we don't consider God in all, every decision, that's foolish. And I want to throw a disclaimer, because when I'm up here, Holy Spirit's talking to me, so I hear out here that, ooh, such and such need to hear this word. I want to tell you this. The Lord never gives you a word for somebody else. He's talking to you. So I understand you're trying to, it's like, ooh, it's heavy. Oh, this meant for, ooh, no. I'm coming to where you live today. I love you. So I'm willing to say these things because at our church, we're going through a study on the seven letters to the seven churches where Jesus was talking to church folk. And I'm going through each week pulling out different characteristics that as church, we need to be mindful of. And sometimes with us getting all this knowledge, we get so puffed up and think that we don't need to change. We can project the dissatisfaction with where we are and look at somebody whose sin we can't see and judge that. But we're not as quick to look internally and see the stuff that don't nobody know in the corner, in the dark. What I am learning as a pastor is that the Word of God is a two-edged sword. As I'm studying, I'm realizing how I don't think I was all that qualified in of my own strength for the job. But as I keep studying, it takes me away from being self-righteous, thinking that if I do, then God will. Do you know if all the good you do is for God to do something back? In relationship terms, we call that manipulation. So that's why we get upset when seasons change and it doesn't come out the way we thought, because we said in our heart, God, if I do this for you, then you're going to do this for me this way. But in your relationship, you say, I don't like no one controlling me. Now, I can get hood rat certified if y'all don't talk back. I got some education. We can slide that to the side and we can talk. Come on now. Think about it. Why is this happening to me, Lord? I serve in the choir. I gave my tithes. Every. Come on now. Even when I didn't have it, I told him cash it on the first, but I gave. And what have you done for me, Lord? You know, if you go to God on the strength of your merits, you're telling him Jesus wasn't enough. Some of the greatest blessings in my life, I didn't have enough faith for. That I am walking in. When the Lord asked us to begin a church, I didn't have no money. I mean, zero. I was looking for libraries because I could afford them, because they're free. But tomorrow when I wake up, it will be a year from the day. That was another faith step. Last year around this time, we were asked to be on the last seven sayings of Jesus on Praise 102.5. And what happened during that time was I was supposed to be on Thursday, and John Gray was supposed to be on Friday, because you want to get the heavy hitter on the premier Christian day that you're going to be on the air. Well, during that time, we're walking by faith. The Lord said, I want you to plant a church. How? We'll have another church sending us out. It's just my wife and I and Jesus, which is all you need. And we said, we are just going to do what he says. So I get an invite because I'm a new pastor, no building, haven't had a church service yet, and we want you to share with 3 million people on Thursday about your church and a word from the Lord. I didn't have enough faith for that. I go in, I tape, I go home, nervous as all get out, to only get a call the next day and say, Vince, we messed up. We gave John Gray Thursday. We need you to come back and tape on Friday. And at the end, I want you to tell everyone where they can come worship with you on Easter. It's not about what I could do. It's not about what I could believe in. It's about, can I believe in his faith? It's his faith, not my faith, his faith. So I said, yeah. Not knowing what I'm about to do. So the Lord said, I want you for Easter Sunday. Mind you, Easter is an official black holiday. Let me tell you, we've been working on that outfit all. Y'all don't play with me. You already got it hanging behind the sofa that got the saran wrap because can't nobody sit on it. Don't you play with me this morning. Y'all play with me. So I said, Lord, what are we supposed to do? They want me to tell a few million people where to meet me at a church that don't exist yet. He said, tell them, because only thing I heard about launching a church is go start a church in Grant Park. What's Grant Park? So the Lord said, I want you to tell them you're going to have Easter service at 8 a.m. in Grant Park. The park with the trees on Easter Sunday. That was it. I don't have enough faith for that. That was April 1st, 2018. We had service. 80 people showed up underneath some trees for a good hour service, got out before the Baptists and hit all the food spots without no lines. People born again, and we hadn't looked back since. It's not about what you can do. It's about, what are you willing to lay aside for God to work in you? I don't want anybody, when they hear our story and look at me, to think that I'm great, because I know I'm not. I am not right 100% of the time, just 99. And it's that 1%. My wife looking down. All right. We have to understand, when we're reclaiming the kingdom, we're asking the Lord to do a work in us.
As you heard today, it's important for us not to focus on what's going on around us, but what God desires to do in us. And there may be those today who have some questions, who don't know what next step to take. I want to take this moment right now and pray with you. I want to pray for you. And so today, if you're saying, Vince, you know, I sense that there are things that are changing. I just don't know what. It's concerning. It's alarming. Or you've been a part of just so much change and you don't know where to turn. I want to pray for God's grace, his wisdom, his power, his healing on your life. Can I pray with you today? Heavenly Father, you are so wonderful. You are so awesome. I thank you for every person who's under the sound of my voice. May you strengthen them. May you cause them to be great. May you cause them in the midst of change to focus on your power, your grace, your ability that enables to navigate every single change that may come across their path. Whether it's healing, whether it's deliverance, God, whether it's just an understanding as to what is going on, may you make it known to them, Father. We love you so much and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's some information that has come up on the screen. It's a way for you to let us know that you prayed with me on today. If you're inside of our online campus, there's a button that came up and you could just go ahead and let us know. Or you can text me, 770-667-4899. I want to know who prayed with me so that I can send a text back and just say, hey, how can I be praying for you this week? It's our heart to walk alongside you no matter what season you find yourself in. Well, today we are going to receive our offering, and I want to thank you so much for your generosity. I want to thank you for your commitment to the Outlet Community Church. God has shown his grace through you, and you have empowered us to impact our community and beyond, and I cannot thank you enough. There's some information that's coming up on screen. You can give two ways. You can give by texting the number 73256 and the letters TOC and following the link and completing that. Or you can give online at theoutletcommunity.com/give. If you have the YouVersion Bible app, you can go ahead and click the link in there. And every single gift that you invest in our community, we commit to making sure that every resource is used to further advance the gospel. I want to thank you all so much. If you're able to hang around after our 10 a.m. service in what we call our home lobby, which is where we have our e-groups, I want to invite you to come and just have some more dialogue, have some more conversation on what stood out to you. Make some new friends. And I look forward to seeing you all there. Can I pray with you before we close out today? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're with them, that you're for them. Shalom, shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. May this be the best week of their life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until next